听力课堂，听 class.com。
英语口译实务三集，第五和。
Section 2 Text for Interpretation Passage 1 Chinese to English Interpretation Text Interpreting Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
进入新世纪，经济全球化不断发展，科学技术突飞猛进，为全球经济和社会发展提供了前所未有的物质技术条件。尤其是信息通信技术的发展，深刻地改变着人们的生产方式和生活方式。信息化为人类提供了难得的数字机遇，同时也给我们带来了各种挑战。世界各国都在积极采取措施，大力发展信息通信技术和信息产业，努力推进国家信息化进程。然而我们看到，世界范围内信息通信技术发展极不平衡，贫富国家享有和利用信息资源和技术的差距不是在缩小，而是在扩大。广大发展中国家处于十分不利的地位，这必然导致南北贫富差距进一步拉大。如何缩小，直至消除数字鸿沟，是建设信息社会过程中急需解决的重大问题。在这种情况下，国际社会决定召开信息社会世界峰会，讨论解决有关建设信息社会的问题是正确的、必要的。开好筹备会是峰会取得成功的重要保证。中国代表团愿谈以下几点看法。一，信息基础设施是建设信息社会的物质基础。未来的信息基础设施应能满足人们对智能化、多样化、个性化、多媒体化、全球化发展的要求。峰会及筹备工作应切实研究加快信息通信技术广泛应用的政策措施，推进网络的结构调整和升级换代，使其逐步演进成为一个融语音、数据、图像为一体的宽带高速信息网，全方位、多层次地满足多种业务需求。二，信息通信与网络安全意义重大，备受各国政府高度关注。信息通信与网络安全涉及到技术、法律法规和世界范围的合作。峰会和筹备工作应考虑在世界范围内成立相应机构和体系，确保通信和网络的安全可靠，严防病毒侵害，打击网络犯罪，同时研究开发和利用先进的安全技术，确保网络上传输的信息受到保护，并通过法律法规手段加强对网络安全的监管，保护通信和网络安全。三，要高度重视知识和人才问题。在未来信息社会中，知识和技能是促进经济发展的主要驱动力，是信息产业实现可持续发展的重要因素之一。 广大发展中国家知识和人才的短缺是造成其在信息技术方面落后于发达国家的主要原因之一，也是解决数字鸿沟应重点考虑的一个环节。四，消除数字鸿沟需要世界各国共同努力，特别是发达国家应切实负起责任，在互利合作、注重实效、成果共享、促进发展的基础上采取实际行动，在资金支持、技术转让、人才培训等方面给予发展中国家以积极有效的帮助，为缩小数字鸿沟多做实事，帮助发展中国家加快信息化进程。
Passage 2 English to Chinese Interpretation Text Interpreting Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
I would like to begin by welcoming everybody.But particularly the e-envoys from the many different countries who have been kind enough to join us today. You are very welcome to the UK, and I hope that you find your trip worthwhile. We are certainly grateful for your contributions to this debate. I consider the question of how we harness the potential of technological change, alongside the related question of science,to be the fundamental economic and social challenge of our future. What we do with information technology and how we use it will determine our success industrially and as a society for years to come. I see a very clear link here between British science, the development of British universities, and the technological revolution. A couple of weeks ago,I had a presentation at Downing Street from some of our leading scientists. It covered fields such as nanotechnology, brain transmitters, and the latest in IT. The potential in all cases was immense for industrial production, medicine, and communications. The connection between top-quality scientific research and business spin-offs and development was obvious.And in the end, of course, it is business managers or public service reformers that will apply the technology in new ways. The point I am making is this. Part of winning this IT battle for the future is to create a culture in which the worlds of education, academia, science, technology, and business are engaged in a perpetual conversation and exchange of views.A conversation in which we are breaking new ground in scientific and technological advance, in which our schools and universities feel comfortable with its potential, in which business and society are naturally looking for ways of applying the advances made. There are now 600 million people online. Worldwide, 140,000 more people connect to the net every day.In the last 3 decades, the price of a transatlantic phone call has fallen to a small fraction of its original level. In the same period, just as Intel's Gordon Moore predicted, computing power has doubled every 18 months to 2 years. A 3G handset, soon to be on sale in every high street in the UK, has around 20,000 times more computing power.Than the Apollo 11 spacecraft. Recently, we witnessed an incredible moment when scientists at MIT in the US and UCL in London teamed up to pull off the first transatlantic virtual handshake. Using a second-generation internet technology, they recreated the sense of touch over a 3,000-mile distance, a remarkable development.That could have applications for areas as diverse as medicine and design. The fundamental challenge is to create a knowledge-driven economy that serves our long-term goals of first-class public services and economic prosperity for all. To do so, we need to innovate. We need to use ideas and intelligence in new ways that create higher value-added products and better quality services. The opportunity to develop the knowledge-driven economy is vastly increased by the digital age. Our ability to find and use information, to share ideas across geographic boundaries, is enhanced immensely by the revolution in communications and computing. And we must extend the opportunities of the information age to all. The networks of the digital age will be more powerful and more productive as the number of people and businesses connected increases. Digital transformation cannot be restricted to the few. Our success depends on extending it to the many. That is why we aim to have all government services online by 2005, building on best practice such as NHS Direct Online and the University Admissions Service. 54% of government services are already online, and we expect that figure to rise to around 75% by the end of this year. But we recognize that British businesses and citizens are not yet using government services online in the numbers that match the best in the world. This not only replaces the cumbersome and inefficient paper-based approach, but will make it possible for an ambulance crew arriving at the scene of an accident to check a patient's electronic health record through a handheld mobile device. It will be possible for a GP to email a prescription directly to a pharmacist, who in turn will email the patient to let them know it's ready to pick up. And we could eliminate up to 600 million pieces of paper a year and make a GP's handwriting legible for the first time in history. And we will be investing in ICT infrastructure throughout the criminal justice system. We are building a future where victims of violent crime can participate in a trial remotely through video conferencing, where witnesses and police officers will not have to wait around in court for days at a time until they're called to give evidence, but are called by text message or pager. I end where I began. This is the transforming technology of our age. Its potential is still hugely underexploited. Its capability to transform our businesses, public services, and societies immense. It is the key long-term economic and social challenge. My purpose in addressing you today is to say this government is absolutely determined to meet the challenge and set our nation on a course to succeed. I ask for your help in doing so.
Section 4. Interpretation Practice. Note-taking and gap-filling. Note-taking. Listen to the tape and take any necessary notes.
E-business includes transactions among employees inside an enterprise, among trading partners in a supply chain, and, of course, the networked transactions that transform the way educators teach students, physicians treat patients, and the way governments deliver services to citizens. All of these interactions will become digital. They won't necessarily replace the kind of physical transactions we know today, but they will augment them. In projects with customers around the world, we're learning that when they make the move to e-business, they follow a fairly predictable three-stage process.
Gap filling. Listen to the tape and fill in the blanks with the words missing.
A multi-million pound research program has begun to find out once and for all whether mobile phones are safe. Scientists will try and discover if mobiles can, and as some claim, increase the risk of brain cancer and leukemia. Life without a mobile would be unthinkable for most of us. Isolated studies hinting they could damage health haven't put people off. The research projects announced today should settle the question once and for all. The evidence at present suggests that there is no adverse effect of mobile phones on the general population of the UK. But if there is a susceptible group, it's most likely to be children, because their skulls are not fully thickened, their nervous system has not fully developed. That's why the government says children should be discouraged from chatting endlessly on their mobiles. But it's purely precautionary, because no one is sure yet what effect mobiles have on health. If mobiles were highly dangerous, we'd probably know it by now already. After all, there are now 1 billion of them in use worldwide. What the research projects are looking for are much more subtle effects. For example, does prolonged mobile use increase your blood pressure, and so your risk of a heart attack or stroke? And could they even alter the way your brain functions?
Passage interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese to English interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
我们生活在信息的海洋里。信息淹没了我们，向我们进攻，并将我们击垮。它无处不在，无时不在。然而问题是，它对我们有什么影响？我们都知道信息革命的益处，但它有什么坏处？这种向我们狂轰滥炸的东西，是否会影响我们的人性？如果过去30万年大脑没有什么变化，那么现在同样也不会变。那里有线路，有荷尔蒙活动，什么都不缺。但是大脑不断询问的问题是，闲着，下面我该做什么？因为我正好有线路处理。但真的有信息过载吗？当大脑没有关闭时，他却说，我正在处理这东西，但算了吧，伙计。信息过载这个比方暗示大脑就像是一件厨房设备，它有电流限制，一旦刺激过度便会燃烧引起短路。信息过载的问题在于有多少信息是有意义的。问题就在这儿，正如这些广告所显示的那样，我们饱受信息的狂轰滥炸，但却不知有多少可以被接收。我们生活在一个忙碌不安的时代，连汽车也不耐烦。我们四处奔走，干什么都没有时间。然而，什么时候最深沉、最有意义、最触动灵魂呢？那通常是在信息量很低、环境非常幽静的地方。随着这些地方逐渐从我们的文化中消除，我们是要付出代价的。信息到处弥漫着，我们足不出户，甚至不用起床便可知晓天下事。那么图书馆还有什么用处？图书馆是个储藏和传播智慧、交流思想、酝酿创造力的地方。但现在的情形是，许多人正被动地漫游在未加筛选的信息汪洋大海中，逐渐失去判断好坏的能力。长此以往， 我们将来能否还会拥有一个延续的文明，不得而知。这就提出了一个问题，信息和知识到底有何区别？显然，知识是经过技能推理又可记忆的人脑加工和丰富了的信息，而信息只是稍加处理的数据，而人们根本的冲动是把其益处用于消费社会去赚钱。信息本身没有坏处，它是美好的东西，我们必须意识到要把信息转化为知识，如果不进行转化，信息则毫无价值。
Passage 2 English to Chinese Interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese. One of the most interesting things is the fact that computers are getting smaller, more portable, more powerful, and cheaper every single day.If you think about your own computing experience in a few years from now, every single device you have will have some type of computer in it. Your cell phone, your wristwatch, computers are going to be all over the place. I actually work in a group at Microsoft where we're focused on looking at these new sets of portable devices and figuring out what type of software can we build to really help people.Enable all kinds of new scenarios that they never even imagined possible. The device I'm going to talk about today is called Media to Go. Think of Media to Go as your personal portable media entertainment station. It can be a portable DVD player. It can be a CD player. It can be a Walkman. It can be a radio.It can be all these things rolled into one device. And all you have to do is take your Media to Go device, connect it to your PC, all the content that you might have downloaded from the internet, or you might have archived your whole CD collection or videos. All that information can be downloaded, and you can basically take this device, put it in your pocket, and experience your content wherever you go,whenever you want. I think back to my own experience in high school, and I can think of one particular scenario where I would love to have had a device like this. Every single year when I was in high school, we would make a trip from Detroit, Michigan, all the way down to Miami, Florida, in the middle of winter for a marching band camp competition. And that was good for me for two reasons.One, I got to get away from my parents for a whole week. And two, it is freezing in Michigan in the winter. So spend the week on the beach. Do a little marching. A great time. The problem is, it's a 30-hour bus ride from Detroit to Miami. So I'd spend the whole week getting all kinds of tapes together and recording tapes and recording the radio and borrowing things from friends.I'd have to borrow a camera from my friends. I'd have to borrow my mother's. All kinds of stuff from here. I'd have to borrow my brother's Game Boy just to entertain me for that 30-hour bus ride. If I would have had Media to Go, all I would have had to do is plug it into my PC. My PC knows who I am. It knows the content that I like. All of my content would have been transferred in about 2 minutes.I'm ready to go on my trip. I don't have to argue with my brother about using his Game Boy. I don't have to beg my mother for a camera. And I don't have to fight with everybody on the bus about which video we're going to watch, because there's only one TV for all of us on the bus. And then, my TV shows. This is a really, really cool scenario.Late last year, Microsoft released a Windows Media Center Edition PC. You can think of this as the father of this device. This is like the son of the Windows Media Center Edition PC. You can play games. You can run your normal office applications. But it also has some really advanced entertainment functionality. And one of the coolest things about it is it allows you to record live television right on your PC. The other thing that Bill mentioned is digital photos. This device can store about 30,000 digital photos, and there's also a connector on the side so you could have simple connection to a TV display, so if you wanted to share your photos or videos with friends or family, it's really easy for you to do that. So I hope this gives you a really good idea of some of the cool software scenarios that we're planning for the digital decade. I really appreciate your time. I hope you guys have a fantastic afternoon with us here at Microsoft. Unit 13, Economic Cooperation. Section 1, Dialogue for Interpretation. Text Interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following conversation alternatively into English and Chinese.
我是新华社的记者，请问作为乌干达的财政计划与经济发展部的部长，您认为乌中两国的经济合作基础如何？
Uganda is the fifth largest coffee producer in the world,And its coffee sector earns almost 60% of the country's total foreign exchange revenue. China has a population of 1.3 billion. If each of them drinks a cup of Uganda's coffee in a month, his country's economy will be boosted greatly.
那么乌中在咖啡贸易方面已经有了哪些举措？
A month ago,Uganda Ban Cafe Company signed a contract with a Chinese company to set up a coffee shop in Beijing. Both sides agreed that if initial cooperation is successful, they will set up joint ventures to undertake both coffee production and processing in Uganda. It is a good beginning. If Uganda's coffee can export to China in quantity,We will have more foreign exchange earnings to import China's products.
目前双边贸易已达到一个什么样的水平？
The volume of bilateral trade now amounts to only $10 million, which is a small amount and leaves much room for the two countries to improve.
乌中两国之间的经济合作，除了咖啡之外，还有别的领域可以合作的吗？
Besides the coffee industry, there are many other fields in which Uganda and China can cooperate, such as agriculture, mining, manufacturing, infrastructure, tourism, and so on. China's technology in some fields is suitable for Uganda's conditions. For instance, its agriculture machinery can serve very well Uganda's agriculture sector.The medium and small-sized tractors made in China can also be used here for land cultivation and transportation.
您好像很强调两国之间在农业方面的合作，能否谈谈乌干达的农业发展情况？
Agriculture is the mainstay of Uganda's economy, which contributes 45% of the country's gross domestic product,and 80% of his export revenue. However, only 8 million out of 40 million hectares of the arable land in the country have been cultivated so far. If China can help us cultivate 20 million hectares of the arable land, Uganda's economy would stride forward by big steps.
在合作方面，乌干达招商引资的条件和其他相关情况如何？
On foreign investment in this country, Uganda is indeed a promising country to attract more investors who target Africa as their investment location. Uganda, which is in the region of East Africa, has become a bridge linking with Central Africa. In this region, There are some of Africa's most economically stable and important countries. This location, at the heart of sub-Saharan Africa, gives Uganda commanding importance as a base for regional trade and investment. After years of economic reform, the country has achieved macroeconomic stability characterized by low inflation, stable exchange rates, and consistently high economic growth. Uganda currently ranks as the fastest growing economy in sub-Saharan Africa. Official statistics show that since 1991, nearly 2,000 enterprises have committed over $2 billion U.S. dollars in actual investment in Uganda's agro-processing, manufacturing, energy, tourism, fisheries, and many others.
中国商界对乌中经济合作的前景抱何种态度？
In recent years, more and more Chinese entrepreneurs have come to invest in Uganda, and this shows that more Chinese are now interested in our country. The forthcoming China-Africa Cooperation Forum clearly indicates that China attaches great importance to developing its economic relations and trade with African countries. I would like to tell you that more Chinese entrepreneurs are welcome to Uganda for investment.
Section 2. Text for interpretation. Passage 1. Chinese to English interpretation. Text interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
各位来宾，各位朋友，女士们，先生们，我很高兴参加博鳌亚洲论坛首次年会。我愿意与大家共同探讨新世纪新亚洲区域合作与发展的问题。亚洲是地球上最大的洲，聚居着世界60%的人口，资源十分丰富，历史源远流长，文化博大精深。上个世纪中，亚洲的巨变和崛起谱写了亚洲发展的辉煌篇章，也成为人类社会进步的显著标志。展望新世纪，曾经拥有光辉灿烂历史的亚洲，必将创造出更加绚丽多彩的文明。近年来，在亚洲国家共同努力下，包容、平等和渐进的地区合作意识日益增强，开放、健康和互利的合作局面正在形成。亚太经合组织不断发展，东亚区域合作方兴未艾，上海合作组织顺利运转。去年11月，我国与东盟国家一致同意，今后十年内逐步建立中国东盟自由贸易区。有关方面正就启动谈判进行接触，这些将为亚洲国家和地区扩大交流、深化合作提供重要渠道和机制。但是与欧洲和北美区域合作相比，亚洲区域合作相对落后。一段时间以来，许多方面对亚洲区域合作的发展方向提出不少独到见解。这里我谈几点看法。第一，以经济合作为重点，逐步拓展全方位合作。发展经济是亚洲各国的首要任务。从实际需要和实践看，可以把贸易、交通、农业、信息、能源、 作为优先合作领域，并逐步向其他领域扩展。第二，立足现有合作渠道，不断扩大合作范围。东亚、南亚、西亚和中亚地理上相对独立，经济发展各有特色。从便利性和有效性看，应首先加强次区域合作，在此基础上积极探索泛亚合作的途径。第三，进一步拓展双边合作，增强区域合作的基础。加强双边合作，有利于推动地区合作的顺利发展。区域合作也有利于为双边开辟更广阔的空间，两者可以形成良性互动。第四，实行开放式地区合作。开放是亚洲文化的传统，合作不可能自我封闭，更不应形成排他性集团。亚洲国家应通过 APEC、 亚欧会议和东亚拉美合作论坛等渠道，进一步加强与各大洲国家的合作。中国是亚洲的一员，20年来，中国坚定不移地推进改革开放，加速国民经济发展，促进人民生活改善。随着新世纪的到来，中国现代化建设进入了新的阶段，国民经济将以每年增长7%以上的速度持续向前发展。中国改革开放和现代化建设的新跨越，不仅将给中国人民带来巨大福祉，也必将提供无限商机，为亚洲和世界经济合作开辟新的广阔空间。加入世贸组织是中国对外开放的新起点，我们将在更大范围和更深程度上参与国际经济合作与竞争。中国将进一步向亚洲和世界开放，向各国的企业家、投资者开放。我们恪守入世承诺，有步骤地扩大开放领域，降低关税水平，取消非关税壁垒。我们也将不断完善法治，创造更加公平、透明和可预见的市场环境。同时，我们还将大力实施走出去战略，鼓励中国各种所有制企业走向世界。中国人民热爱和平，中国的发展需要和平，中国经济的发展不会对任何国家和地区构成威胁。无论现在还是将来，中国始终是维护世界和平、促进共同发展的重要力量。亚洲人民勤劳智慧，自强不息，这是亚洲过去取得辉煌成就和创造灿烂明天的重要法宝。中国人民愿与亚洲各国人民一道，携手共创新世纪亚洲的美好未来。